Blog Talk Radio.
Soulmates and
and just really break it down for you, because we hear that term so often among us humans that we're waiting and believing God for a soulmate. Lord, I want my soulmate. And I just thought then that this was the month of February, that this would be the likely subject, because February is the month of love for the world. The world says this February is the month of love, and love is in the eyes, and those who don't have a love, have a companion, they're looking at everybody else that have a companion for the month of February, and they're longing and desiring for their soulmates. And I have something prepared for you all that I was going to speak on, and then God said, oh, no, you're not. So needless to say, I will be speaking about the soul on today, but not soulmate, and I'm hoping that the Lord will release me, because he has definitely given me some revelation knowledge in reference to that, and I want to talk about love. So I will be talking about that before February is out. But tonight, that won't be the topic. I will not be speaking about soulmates and why you want to stay away from using the term soulmate. But I will be speaking tonight. Many who follow me via social media potentially seen a video that I posted on yesterday regarding logic is in rebellion to faith. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up and really, really broke that down in a short 8-minute clip. Well, what I believe the Lord would have me, because like I said, I want to do soulmates, but the Lord is telling me he wants me to go back to logic is in rebellion to faith for my listening audience that may not follow me on the social media, that there's way more that I could get into in reference to that. So on tonight, I will be speaking about logic being in rebellion to faith. So what I want to do is do some key things. I know I got a lot of people that's walking through the studio right now that's coming in and trying to get settled in. So I'm just going to do some groundwork. You know, Coach D, I always want to give you some definitions, and this is a good time to take paper and pen, because it's good to take some notes in this, because this is going to be a lot of information that I'm going to be pouring on you tonight. And I'm doing this because I honestly believe that if we understand the triune of man, God is Trinity. If you're on the show, you know that MCD Network believe that God is a Trinity, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So tonight I will try to break down to you why we are trying on two. We are body, we are spirit, we're soul, and we're body. And over and over again in the Word of God, it tells us that God created us in his image, in their image. It says, actually, in Genesis, he says, let us create man in our image. Who is our image? He didn't say in my image, in God's image, in the Creator's image, but he said, let us create man in our image. So I believe when we start understanding that dynamic, those dynamics of who we are and how we was created, we'll start functioning differently. So what I didn't do on my video that I will be attempting to do tonight is break down what each one of those components, how they operate, so you can begin to see how things operate. And then once I share with you how those three components operate, then I'm going to go back to helping you understand why logic is in rebellion to faith. And then the Word of God tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then the Word of God goes on to say some other things about faith. And so right now, let's start off by just first all understanding that we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now let's see what the functions are of each one of those. Let's start with the body. And I'm going to go backwards, because if you could imagine, if you imagine with me, imagine a big circle. And then within that big circle are two more circles. So you have a big circle, which is the outer circle. And then you have another circle within that circle, which is like the middle circle. And then you have a smaller circle within that circle. So you have these three circles within each other. So you have the body, you have the soul, and you have the spirit. And if you look at that, or if you drew that, you'll see that the soul is surrounded by the body and the spirit. So we're going to start with the body, because we know that the body, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory, that the body is the flesh. The body functions off of sight, the five senses. The five senses is best defined as your the five senses is your sensory. It's the nervous system. It's the sensory. So it's the sight, what we see, smell, the nose, hearing, the ears, taste, the mouth, and touch, the hands or fingers or whatever that is. So we have those five senses that the body functions for. So everything that the body learns, everything that the body does is based off of those five senses, period. So now we can understand why the body does its own thing. The body is constantly in rebellion to the Spirit of God. The body is the flesh. The body is what got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden. The body, those five senses, though we need them, because as we live in the out in this outer world, we need those five senses. Those five senses help us survive. They help navigate us. But the problem is that when we become so dependent on those five senses, that those five senses become our navigation system, then that's where we get into trouble. That's where we get into problems. That's where we get into we just get into issues, and that's what we see. As we turn on the news, we find out about the teacher who was sleeping with the 14-year-old. We turn on the news, and we find out about the man who went and beat up the elderly. We see all this destruction, and generally when you're seeing all this kind of stuff, it's people functioning off their five senses, the flesh. Now, that's the first. Now we're going to get into the soul. And on the flesh, I'm going to go back and I'm just going to get into some things, because let me do this while I'm at the flesh. We talked about the body. That's in the outer circle. This is part of the man's triune. So that's one part. It's based off the five senses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 tells us, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So we know that everything that the body sees, these five senses see, smell, hear, we know that stuff is temporal. It's not permanent. Amen? So we got to understand that. Then we get into the soul. And the soul, it houses our imagination, our conscience, memory, reasoning, and affection. That soul is a soulful guy. And so now you can see why people use the term soulmate, because soulmate, they're getting into their emotions, the affections, you know, that kind of giddy stuff. And so, again, the soul is the house of the imagination, our mind, battles, vain imagination, our conscience, memory, reason, and affection. So the soul is our logic. That's where our logic. Now, the body and the soul could work very closely together, because the body can influence the soul. Well, why do you say that, Coach D? I say that because the body can influence the soul, because if I see something, that image will then give me a memory, or that image to start my imagination to flow. That image could cause me to have a certain affection toward. You know, you see a cute lady, guys, you're listening, and you see a nice lady walking by, and she's really nice, and she's pretty, and she's everything that you think you desire. Well, you've seen that with your eyes, or you may have smelled the perfume she was wearing with your smell. You may have a meal that she prepared, which is your taste. And those things begin to cause you to have a certain memory. It caused you to have a certain imagination. It may have brought out a certain affection, like, ooh, I like her. I want her to be my soulmate. Get it? So, yes, your soul can be influenced by the body, the five senses. Amen? And so that's why we want to be careful, because oftentimes, all the time, your body is influencing. It's constantly, those five senses are constantly influencing your soul. And your decisions and your choices are based on that. Your logic comes in, and logic is based on, you get your logic from reasoning. It would be, or what you're taught, your influence. And so, the example I gave yesterday was, if I gave you a long yellow fruit and I cut it open and I handed it to you and said, smell this, what is it? Logically, you're going to say that's a banana, because that's your culture. That's what you were taught. That's what you grew up knowing, that this yellow fruit that goes into almost like a moon shape is a banana. So when you see it, when you smell it, when you taste it, when you feel it, guess what? You know that it's a what? Banana. But what if I told you that someone in another country don't call this banana, but they call it a plantain? Well, that may be, if you're not familiar with that culture, then that may sound weird to you. You may have never heard of that before. So that would sound like, they're not right. I call that a banana. But their culture, their influence, what they've learned is that that's not what they call it. Now I'm going to take it a step further. Because what if in God's word he described this same fruit and he called it a mabi? What if you were reading God's word and it describes this fruit that you know to be a banana, but God said, no, it's a mabi? Now, guess what? If you're not careful, and if you're not operating in the spirit of God, and we're going to get to the spirit, then the only thing you have to go by is your logic and by your five senses, which created the logic that this is a banana. So you'll go through life, because that's what you know it to be, and that's all you know it to be, and that's what it is. You're not going to accept what maybe someone else calls it. So if you're reading the Word of God, and the Word of God calls it a mabi, you might have a hard time embracing that. You may have a hard time being able to do that. So if God's Word said, I need you to not eat mabis, because mabis are not good for your body. Mabies have a curse, and I don't want you to eat them. Guess what? You're going to have a hard time embracing that. And the chances are you're going to continue to eat what you know to be banana. And you're not going to ever be able, I'm not going to say never, but in your current state, you're not going to be able to embrace the fact that you're not supposed to eat what the Bible calls mabie. Because you can't get a perception of that. So now let's break down the spirit. And when I break down the spirit, it'll start making sense to you. We've already dealt with the body. And I'm giving definitions before we get into deep, but we already broke down the body. We found a scripture that tells us that anything that we see is temporal. We got into the soul, and we've seen the functions of the soul. And we found out that, wow, the soul could be greatly influenced by the body, by the five senses. Now we're going to get into the spirit. And we know that the spirit receives impressions of outward and material things through the soul. However, the spirit is your faith, your hope, your reverence, prayer, worship. That's what the Spirit is. It's the essence or the nucleus of God. It's the nucleus of God. So that's the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't know anything. The Spirit doesn't know anything but the things of God. It don't know anything about the flesh. It knows about the things of God. Now, the problem is that because of sin, because of Adam and Eve in the garden, what happened was is that when they sinned, originally the Spirit had open access. It was illuminated from heaven. So it had open access to heaven. It was alive. It was alive. And if it's all it knows, the things of God. So all Adam and Eve knew prior to sin was the things of God. There was no thought about, do I need to do or what I need to have. They knew the things of God. So with all the things that God was telling them that they were to have dominion over the earth, all the things that God was telling them that they were able to speak and know and do, that's all they knew because the Spirit of God was alive in them. And the soul was subjected to the Spirit because the soul was the breath of life that was breathing into us prior to the fall. So I'm saying this to say that now we have, after sin, well, they have what they call an unregenerate spirit. So you have a spirit that's laying dormant in you prior to you giving your life to Christ. That spirit is laying dormant. It's unregenerate. And so it's probably loaned, and I'm only imagining, but I'm sure in the Word of God that tells that this spirit is longing to come alive. It's longing to come alive. It's longing to give instruction. God is longing to commune with us, to give us revelation knowledge, to give us peace and joy and comfort and love and all these things that God is. And it's when we come into acceptance and realize that there is a God and that he's drawing us towards him. That's his spirit, that dormant spirit inside of us. When we realize that there is a God and we give our lives over to him and we accept him, then that spirit comes alive. And it's now a regenerate spirit. So now I'm going to tell, because I don't want to get into a bunch of big words without you understanding what those words are. So let's just break down, what does regenerate mean? Regenerate is of a living organism, regrow, new tissue, to replace lost or injured tissue. Reform or reborn, especially in a spiritual or moral sense. So that's what regenerate means. So when you give your life, when they say you're born again, when, you know, believers, when they give their life over to Christ, it says, I am now a born-again Christian. So that's what you've done. You've regenerated your spirit. Now, that's a great thing because now that spirit is coming to life. But that spirit begins to live at its full potential as it reconnects to a source. And the source is God. And so when we give our lives back over to Christ and we refuse to get into the Word, when we give our lives back over to Christ and we refuse to take the time to study the Word, to spend time with Christ in what? Prayer, praise, worship, the Word. When we refuse to do that, what happens is that we're still walking around with this dormant spirit. And even when we're reading the Word, have you ever said to yourself, and I know I had a time in my life where I would read the Word and I would say, God, I don't understand that. Matter of fact, I would start reading the Word and I would go to sleep. I would get sleepy. It couldn't hold my attention. And I didn't understand why it couldn't hold my attention. But the reason why it can't hold your attention is because of the simple fact that in order for you to understand what's the very mind of Christ, you got to be wanting to spend time with Christ. So you have to come into a personal relationship. And how do you come into a personal relationship? You come into a personal relationship by spending time. Because the Word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It also tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're not spending time in His Word, if we're not spending time with Him through prayer and worship, then we're not knowing Him. So that's what I want to get into. Now, I'm just giving some basics right there. If at any time there's any questions, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. But we're going to move. We're going to be jotting. If you can't hear me or you need me to repeat a scripture or you need clarity, again, you could dial one on your dial pad. But I'm going to be moving because I want to get this information, because at the end of the day, what I would love for you to do is take some of this information and study it for yourself. God may give you a different revelation. It may not be the same revelation. So yesterday, again, I did a video that logic is in rebellion to faith, and I've learned that from my mentors and my parents. And as I began to really study that, and as I began to pray about that, because I've heard that all my life, logic is in rebellion to faith. Logic is in rebellion to faith. And I kind of got it, but not really. And yesterday, in my quiet time, all of a sudden, I got this revelation knowledge of it, the revelation knowledge of the fact that logic is in rebellion to faith. Let's go back and find out, what is logic? Logic is a proper or reasonable way of thinking about or understanding something. Again, a proper or reasonable, there go that reason, way of thinking about or understanding something. So if I could safely assume in my thought process, I would have to say that based on Webster's dictionary definition of logic, logic seems to me that it lines up a lot with our soul. So I came to the conclusion that, man, it sounds like logic sounds a lot like the soul. The soul, again, components are imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and the affection. But I also say that logic, because we now understand that the body is a great influencer of our soul, that logic is a lot like our five senses, what we can see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. So we operate from a logical standpoint according to this, but then God is telling us logic is in rebellion to faith. As I mentioned earlier about the banana, logically, this is a banana. It tastes like a banana, it smells like a banana, it looks like a banana. So logically to us, that's a banana. But we found out that that's logic to us, but that's not logic to someone else who says it's a plantain. And then we took it a step further and said, but it's not even logical to God. So why did I use that analogy? I use that analogy because if we're operating from logic and God is requiring us to operate from faith, and faith definition according to the world's definition of faith is strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehensions rather than proof. Very similar, because according to God's definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Stop. So logic is telling us what we see, our five senses. It's telling us about our reasoning, what we've learned, our culture, what we're taught. That's what logic is telling us. But God is saying, faith is based on things that's not seen. Substance. And so we know that substance is tangible. And God is telling us now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, do you see how logic and hope, we definitely have determined that logic and faith are in contradiction to one another. It's rebellion. So now, if I'm operating out of logic and I go to the doctor and I get a report from the doctor that says I'm sick, that's logic. He gave the test. He did all that he needed to do. So we know that that's logic, correct? We know that that's logic because the doctor said it. He did the test. He did the blood work, and it says this is what you're going through. But then again, my body, the body, five senses said, yes, I am sick. And the soul, depending on what you've been feeding your soul, can almost support that. Yes, the body, five senses said they're sick. So now, if we're not careful, the soul begins to imagine things. The soul may imagine things that I'm not going to never get well. The soul may start imagining I might die. The soul, the soul could begin to go through so many different things. So now the soul is supporting the body. The body's saying, yes, five senses, this is what the doctor told me. This is what I heard. This is what I've seen from the chart. This is what it is, logic. The soul is saying, I support that logic because now the body has influenced the soul, and so now the soul's conscious mind is saying, oops, this is what it is. Now the soul is now, reasons is kicking in. The doctor said it. That's what it is. That's what the tests say. Now you got affections toward that. The affections, though negative, because now you're scared. The spirit of fear has come upon you. You know, all these things. Now, the spirit. This is where it comes in to be important that you keep your spirit regenerate. How do we do that? How do we begin to operate in faith? By the word of God, by spending time with God. So now, as a mature believer, when you get that report, now what you do, okay, I got that report, because you're still a flesh, you're still the body, you're still going to hear, see these gates. You still got these gates that you're going to receive information through. Now, the thing is about is now that you receive that information through those gates, now what are you going to do? You're going to kick into the spirit. Well, Coach D, the spirit, yes. Because now what you're going to do is you're going to kick into the spirit. And the spirit is saying faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship. So now you kick into the spirit by now going to the word of God. Because the word of God is now becoming your determining factor. The word of God is now becoming the thing that's influencing your soul. The word of God is now saying, and you're getting in your conscious mind to begin to believe that the word of God said that he sent his word to heal my disease, and I am healed by his stripes. So now your conscious mind is now saying, whoa, if they tell me this, now you begin to find scripture through the word of God that support something different. So that's faith kicking in. So the word says faith without works is dead. So we could say we have faith, but if somebody gives us a bad report, and we receive it through our five senses that then begins to influence our soul, faith, that's fine. So now if you have faith, you got to do something with that faith. What am I doing? I'm putting my faith to action because now I'm getting ready to find this word of God if it's not already in me, and I'm going to begin to stand on the word of God. Why am I going to stand on the word of God? Because I said I'm a believer. I said that I'm a child of God, and I believe that the word of God is the very mind of God. So if I believe that and the word of God is now becoming my reality, then when the word of God tells me that I'm healed by his stripes, then guess what? That's the way I'm going to start acting. I'm going to start believing that I'm healed by his stripes. Then other word that's going to come to me, and I don't know, you may have different scriptures that come and support yours, but for me, the next scripture that comes to mind is that God says that he watches over his word to perform it. So if I believe that in my mind, that he watches over his word to perform it, then guess what? Then I'm going to believe that if his word tells me I'm healed, then he's watching over that word to perform it, then I got to be healed. But if I allow my logic to overrule my faith, then guess what? I'm going to stay in a state of sickness. I'm going to stay in a state of gloom and doom. When God said, When logic tells me I don't have a job and I can't pay my bills, when logic tells me that I got more bills than I have money, guess what? And then the word of God is saying, well, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if the word of God is saying that, then you're going to have to believe. Are you going to believe logic or by faith, or are you going to believe the word of God? Because if you're going to believe the word of God, then you got to believe the word of God. So if you're believing the word of God, then you have to be obedient to the spirit of God that's operating on the inside of you. So if you're sitting there and God tells you, Denise, get up. I want you to call sister such and such, because call her. Just call her. Now, if I'm obedient to that spirit and I don't allow logic to kick in with the spirit of pride or doubt from past five senses, reasoning, or my soul, if I don't allow that to kick in, then by faith I'm going to call sister such and such. Now I call sister such and such, and all of a sudden I got a need met. Again, faith without works is dead. So if I'm saying I'm having faith in God, then I have to be obedient to God. That means I have to trust him. So that means when he say to do something, then I need to do it. Because he don't operate from logic. He's God. It's not what it looks like. We've seen that in the word. In the beginning, as we begin to speak about this, is that it said right here that the things that we see, it was 2 Corinthians that told us that the things that we see is a temporal. They're subject to change. And many of us operate out of logic, even Coach D. I'm learning just as you're learning that many of us operate out of logic. We've been operating out of logic our whole life. So when we finally give our lives over to Christ, it's a process. It's a process that we have to do. And it's a walk. It says, it's a daily walk. And on a daily walk, you have to take one step after the next step after the next step, and you continue to walk. And sometimes we get tripped up. Logic will get us tripped up. Our five senses could get us tripped up. But when we get tripped up, shake it off and get back on the course. And keep the walk going. It should be a progressive act, not unto perfection, because none of us are perfect, but it's a progression. We should be progressing towards the things of God. We should be progressing in our faith, because we should be hearing the word of God. We should be meditating on the word of God. We should be spending time in the very presence of God, because as we do that, it builds up our faith. And what happens with that is that as it builds up our faith and God continues to do what only God can do by meeting the need, by healing us, by doing what God does, and guess what? There's a track record there. And we call it touchstone, because now when I go through a sickness again, I remember what God did before when he healed me from the sickness before. So see what I'm doing? I'm literally changing my conscious mind. I'm changing my memory. I'm changing my reasoning. I'm changing my affection. I'm changing my soul. Because now I'm influencing my soul with the word of God and not my five senses. So it should get to a point at some point in my life where I should not be moved by five senses. Don't mean that they're not going to still operate, but that they should not be my determining factor. My five senses should no longer be my reality. Because now I'm walking in faith. I'm walking according to God's word. It becomes your reality. And you begin to put that in motion. And you begin to stand on the word of God. And you begin to stand on it with so much conviction that you believe that it's going to do exactly what it said it's going to do, because God said it's going to do it. And when you really think about, if God is is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and he created us in his image, and he gave us a spirit, a soul, and a body. And when you think about those little details and really think about them, then can we not do what he said we can do? When Jesus was leaving and he said, we'll do greater things, can we not do? It would seem to me that our conversion rate should be at an all-time high of us being able to do what the world calls impossible. All of us, if you've been walking this walk for any length of time, all of us can give testimony of things that took place or that transpired that wasn't logical. People have started million-dollar businesses with no money. That's not logical. But they were obedient to the voice of God that told them to move, and they moved when he said move. It's not logical. And we've experienced that. So why do we continuously know that God is not logical? To know that logic is in rebellion to faith, but yet we always want to lean towards those five senses, past memories. Again, I want to give listening audience an opportunity. If you would like, if you have a question or a comment, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment. If not, I'm going to continue on in this series of Logic is in Rebellion to Faith. We talked about, we explained the triune of man, the tripartite, which is the body, the soul, and the spirit. We broke down what was the functions of each. We then also spoke about, we gave the definition of five senses, the nervous system. We gave the definition of logic, so we understand what logic is and how it's acquired. We gave the definition of faith according to the word of God. So we broke those down, and we were able to see how that each one of those connected, the five senses connected to the body, the logic connected to the soul, and faith connected to the spirit. We went into that. We understand that. We went into some scriptures that support that God created us in his image, and that's why we operate in the same in the triune as well. We also went over the fact about what we see. Five senses is temporal. We also went into the fact about, why we have to stand on the word and how we build our faith through the word of God and through relationship with God. We went over the fact that prior to us giving our lives back to God and being reborn, that our spirit is dormant inside of us, and that it has to be ignited. You know, it has to be ignited, and it stays ignited through our relationship with the Lord. It stays ignited through the word, through commune. Because remember, it was commune that kept Adam and Eve connected to God. It was sin that broke that commune, that dimmed that light. So you could say, I accept the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, and I repent for my sins, and da-da-da-da-da-da. You could say that, but guess what? That requires an action. And so if you're not acting on it, that spirit is not growing. It's for a lack of words, it's malnutrition. If you're not feeding your spirit with the word of God, in the commune of God, then it's sick. And if your spirit is sick, then it's going to be hard for you to navigate. It's going to be hard for you to understand the word of God when you take 5 minutes to go through it. It's going to be hard for you. You won't be able to sit in church on Sunday and walk out of church and understand what's being said. You won't have a revelation of God's word. I would almost be safe to say, and this is Coach D, and you may not believe this, that this is going, I'm going to say this is Coach D's opinion. So I'm not trying to force my opinion on anyone. But I would almost be safe to say that that's why we got so many people that's sitting in church for years, and they're no further along than where they were when they started. They're still struggling with the same struggles. They're still doing the same stuff. They haven't changed because they're not spending time. I guarantee you they're not spending time with the Father. They're not communing. They're just going to church, and they get that 40-minute word on Sunday, and then they don't get no more word until after that. Until the next Sunday. But then life's not working. They can't get understanding. They're getting the truth. When you go into church on Sunday and you get the word, you're getting the truth. You're finding out where he's been. But the revelation knowledge of his word comes with relationship with him. And when you're in relationship with him, you begin to get revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is telling you about where God is right now. Where is he at right now? What is he doing right now? That's that revelation knowledge. When you in commune with God and you go to church on Sunday, church is supposed to be a confirmation. It's supposed to be a confirmation to what you've already been in commune with God about. It's just confirmation. You go into church and the word comes forth. Your spirit is full. And so now when your spirit is full, it's able to take and it's able to break down what's being spoken. It's able to get knowledge out of what's been spoken. But when you're not in community, don't get that. You get a happy feeling. You know how many people walk into church on Sunday, get excited, jump around, pass out, cry, and then they could walk out the doors and they say, "Ooh, church was good today. It was so good today." And you say, "Well, what was the message today? Where did they come out of?" And you know what most of them say? "Ooh, girl, it was something about 2 Corinthians is what they were talking about today. And it was just good. Pastor just preached it. But they can't give you no meat about it. What was it about? How did it pertain to you? What did God speak to you in that message? What did God tell you to do? That's a sick spirit. It's malnutrition. It's hungry. And like in the natural, we go through Jack in the Box and McDonald's and Freddy's Burgers and chili cheese fries, and we eat all that stuff that we know is not good for our body. And as an end result of it, our body is sick. It's disorder and disease in our bodies because we're not taking, Holy Spirit, we're not taking care of ourselves. We're not eating right. We're not getting our proper rest. We're keeping ourselves in situations that stress us. Same thing with the spirit. We know what we're supposed, in the flesh, we know what we're supposed to be eating. We know the things that's healthy. They say alive foods. We know the alive foods that we need to be putting into our bodies to keep our bodies alkaline and not so much acidity, because acidity is the breeding place for disease. We know that. We know it, but we don't do it. Same thing with the spirit. We know that we need to be in fellowship. We know that we need to be in commune with God. We know that we need to set time aside daily to come into his presence, to read his word, to be still. Prayer is great. He tells us to pray. But prayer is you talking. And sometimes we got people that pray all the time. They constantly praying. And guess what? They still wondering why God ain't answered their prayer. Well, because you won't shut up. You won't shut up long enough for him to answer it, because it's his answers coming to worship. His answers coming to in that quiet time of worship is when we get the answers to our prayers. Prayer is you talking Worship is God talking. And many people don't know that. And I've often said, and I pray, you know, that I'm sure somebody's toe I'm going to step on. But I often say, and I truly believe, that a person that don't know how to worship does not really know God. A person that does not know how to worship, I would have to say that they really don't know God, because it's in the worship. Extravagant respect, that's the time that you be still. It's a time of submission to God, to your Creator, to your Father. We always want Him to hear our heart through prayer. We're constantly praying for others, praying for ourselves, praying, Lord, I need this, praying, Lord, I need that, Lord, send me this, Lord, send me that. We want Him to hear our heart, but do we want to hear His heart? Do we want to hear what He has for us? And the Word of God, as us being His children, when we're His children, being His child comes with a lot of promises. It comes with a lot of gifts, benefits, as they say. Being his child comes with perks. You won't even know what those are if you're not spending time in His Word. If you're not spending time in His Word, you wouldn't even know that you could do all things through Him who strengthens you. You wouldn't know that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. You wouldn't even know that He sent His Word to heal your dis-ease, your disorder. If we don't spend time in His Word, we wouldn't know that. Some of us are praying, and we pray all the time. And guess what? It's almost like nowadays you could call to a customer service center. I'm going to put this in here because it's a great analogy. You could call to a customer service center, and now you get an automation. You don't even get a human, a human being. You call, and you have to push this button, and then you have to push that button, and then you have to push this button, and then you push the pound button, and you go through all these cycles. And if any of you are like me, I get frustrated because I want a human being to answer the phone. I don't want to talk to a machine. And so we go through all of that, and what they're doing in this time and age is that this is called lean principle. And what they're doing is they're reducing waste and increasing productivity. So what they're doing is, if I could get automation in that could answer some unusual questions, because we've already put most of the FAQs on our website. We already put most of the FAQs in the contract that you sign called terms and conditions. Most of the basic questions that people ask, that's what companies are doing. Large corporations, they're putting this stuff on their website, in their contract. Why? Because they don't want you to have to call and require customer service. Why? Because that costs them money. Because then they have to hire people and pay them a wage. They have to pay them benefits, vacation time. So they have to pay these people to put them in positions to answer your questions, questions that they could put on their website. And they're going to put those questions on their website, and it's your responsibility to go on their website, see if your question is in there. Now, if your question is not in there, then you call, and they have automation system that can answer it. What does that do? That cuts down half the job, maybe 75% of the job, which saves the company money. They're reducing waste. We no longer need these people. So now we could do automation system. That's going to save us loads of money over a protracted period of time. Why are you saying this, Coach D? You just went left. Well, I'm went left so I could take you back right. And back right is the same thing with God. We're constantly praying God for this and praying God for that and praying God for this. And prayer is great, don't get me wrong. But a lot of the questions that we're praying and answers that we're looking for God is right in His Word. Is right in His Word. But we'll go and sit with the priest and do confession and ask them. We'll try to get appointments with leaders, pastors, mentors. And it's good to have a mentor, but I'm just saying, we'll get those questions. We'll I know people that are just dying till they could get a meeting with their pastor. And he gonna go to the Word of God, just like they could go to the Word of God. But most of us are too lazy to go to the Word of God and get our answer. The faith sounds good, but we just don't want to do the work. So we find ourselves going to everybody else, calling a girlfriend, going to sit with our buddies, trying to get an appointment with the pastor to get some of these answers that's right in the Word of God. And I'll be the first to say, I'm not saying that you can't meet with your pastor. I think everybody should have a mentor. I think, you know, therapy, I think, is great. If you need therapy and you realize that there's some issues that's beyond you, then I think that you should go get help from somebody that has taken the time to study, and hopefully they're a believer. So not only are they studying the psychodynamics of things, but they're also studying the spiritual things so that they could deal with the spirit of what's going on. I think that's a good thing. So under no circumstances is Coach D saying you're not supposed to do those things, but what Coach D is saying is that we have a Father who loves us. We have a Father, and that word is the piece of, is his mind, is his heart. And when we read that word, and we read that word with an activated, regenerated spirit, then the word comes off the pages. It becomes life, and it's productive, and it does what it says it's going to do, and it changes things. Jesus was the living word. And every time Jesus came on the scene, it changed things. And it wasn't based on logic. It was based on faith, because there was nothing logical about putting spit and mud on somebody on the blind for them to see. It was nothing logical about dipping in a pool at a certain hour of the day that made people whole. It was nothing logical about a woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. But that much blood, she should have been dead. It was nothing logical about a man had been dead for Lazarus, was dead for days before Jesus got there. None of that's logical. It's not scientific. But yet and still, we'll want to embrace logic and overlook faith. I'm preaching to myself tonight. If I'm not ministering to anybody else tonight, I'm ministering to myself, because I know that Coach D has a tendency to want to lean to her own understanding. Woo! To her own understanding. And everything in his word is telling us do not lean unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways so that he could direct your path. We want to lean to our own understanding, but he's telling us, no, lean towards me. Because guess what? Your understanding, if you lean to your own understanding, if you lean to the logic is faulty. Logic is faulty. Because logical is only logical to the person it's logical to. It may not be logical to everybody. Facts. The fact of the matter is that you may be overweight. That's a fact, but facts are subject to change because you can lose weight. The fact of the matter is that you may be unhappy today. That's a fact. But the fact of the matter is that you may not be happy. You may be totally happy the next day. Facts are subject to change. Principles never change. And the Word of God is our principles that we need to hold on to that's unchanging. That is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And we need to hold on to those the principles of God that tells us that nothing's impossible with him. The principle of God that could change back the hands of time on our behalf. We don't think about that stuff. We read it, Old Testament talked about, is it Hezekiah, where they turned back the hands on the dial to give him a little bit more time? Well, guess what? Every time you walk out your house, get in your car, and drive by a major fatal accident, the hands on your dial, the hands on your dial was turned back. So that could have been you. Have you ever been somewhere and the traffic was bad and you got agitated, frustrated, furious because you're trying to get somewhere quick? And then you find out that had the traffic not have been bad 5 minutes prior, had you got to a certain point within that 5 minute time period, you would have been in a major disaster that would have cost you your life or your livelihood. That's God, the very presence of God changing the dial back for us. Oh, Jesus. We got to begin to trust him. We got to begin to lean on faith. And I'm not just talking about on some things. I'm talking about on everything. We got to spend time with him. We got to hear him. And we got to be obedient to him. We got to be obedient to God, not to, you know, to God. And when God say, move, you better move. It may not make sense. It may not be logical. But when he say move, move. When he say stop, stop. Follow God's signal lights in your life. Know when it's red. Know when it's yellow. Know when it's green. And be obedient. Because if you're not obedient and you move on that red signal, guess what? Don't get mad at God when you have a head-on collision, when things just go all discombobulated because you were disobedient. So without further, Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, how we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is rhema, that is tangible, Father, that is life. Father God, that is not just letter, but it's spirit. We thank you, Father God, that your word gives us revelation knowledge. It gives us the how-tos, Father, to do what you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives life. Oh, my God, Lord, that your word gives life. We just thank you. We thank you that your word is your very presence in our lives, Lord. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come boldly before your throne. We thank you, Lord, that we could be in commune with you, that we have that opportunity that was once lost in the garden. Father God, that you loved us so much that you was willing to send a piece of you, your son, to die for our sins. And Father God, we know that there was that your son came in the same dynamic as us. He came in the flesh. And we know, Father God, that he operated by your spirit, but he had a soul and he had a body. And Father God, we know that he had a moment of logic when he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? But he loved us so much. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this revelation. We thank you, Lord, that when we go through things in life that seem painful to our natural beings, we thank you, Father God, that we are experiencing the same crucifixion, because it's through that pain, Father God, that we could help the next person come into salvation, help the next person come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we may be crushed and bruised, but Father God, we're not broken. We're not dead. We still have life. We still have purpose. We still have your peace that passes all understanding. Our joy is still full, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, for each and every person that's listening in on tonight, whether they're listening live in the studio or that they're listening through archives, Father, I pray that you would touch them on tonight. Father, I pray that they will go from the truth to revelation knowledge. Father God, that they will begin to walk out this journey called faith. that they will begin to live it and breathe it and walk it, that they will begin to see some things manifest in their lives, Father, that's not logical. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, and we thank you for having your way on tonight. We thank you, Father God, for increasing and allowing us to decrease. So we just give you all the honor, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. And I want to thank my listening audience tonight. Thank you for coming on and listening. And thank you for your continued support of the MCD Network, Processing the Pain and Woman to Woman. We love you. We appreciate it. Appreciate you, for without you, this would not be possible. So we just thank you for your continued support. We ask that you continue to tune in next week on Tuesday, Woman to Woman. Yes, the show is called Woman to Woman, but men, I want to let you know that you are welcome. We have a couple dynamic, we call it the dynamic duo. We have a couple that's going to be our guest on Woman to Woman on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Coaches Don and Charlene Johnson, they're going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking about keeping love alive. We're continuing in our love series for February on Woman to Woman. So they're going to come in and talk about keeping love alive on Tuesday. And then again, join me again on Thursday. I have a special guest that's going to be coming on next Thursday. I'm excited about this guest. We're trying to bring you quality guests to the show. So again, feel free to tune in with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. Know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated.